The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhamma, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyambi tatiyambi savaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Share some of my favorite insights. I'm finding that working with the recording in the way that we're doing so intensively is providing so many things to see, and very exciting.
So the recordings are from the new book and the email class that is going on at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Where I was about to start describing it, but pretty much we're just recording everything.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what it feels like.
It's yeah, just, everything.
It's like a constant reminder to be in practice.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I'm finding, actually, I don't know if I'm just in a stage, but I'm really, I'm recording a ton, almost as much as I'm listening. Because I'm recording, and then, wait. Wow, that was so, like, listening back to a piece of the recording sparked something else.
Yeah.
Or it sparked, we went to an event yesterday that Cher facilitated, and someone was talking about, I made a recording before, but I listened to it, and then it's on. I mean, I'm hearing it, mm-hmm. but I'm not really listening to it, mm-hmm. so, you know, what to do about that? And so I was really looking at that. And that's one of the things, as I'm really looking at that, I'm seeing, you know, the thousand ways in which attention gets pulled up. And each time I do that, stop, record that, record that way.
Huh. So you're recording the insights that you're having about not being able to, where your attention gets drawn off away from the recording.
Right.
And so even as you're listening to the recording, you're getting information about how it is that attention moves around, mm-hmm. and you're putting that on your recording too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The recording is inspiring things to put on the recording.
Yeah, yeah. So a couple of neat things I saw. One was, so I've had some pretty big insights around all of it. And then, of course, at least for me, with insight comes all kinds of things, a great deal of relief and relaxation and maybe excitement and things like that. And one in particular, I think it was on Friday night as I was recording, and I just got to this amazing place. And I was recording all of that. Part of it that I was seeing, just how cool the whole system is that goes on inside of our head. And the necessity of ending that relationship. And so I had that insight. And then I knew to watch for what would come up in resistance to that. Mm-hmm. And again, so I'll listen to that recording of that insight that I had and everything around that, and all the resistances to that. And what I saw was, it's like, what conditioned mind does around an insight, I mean, this is not new information, but What conditioned mind does around an insight, if it can't immediately discount it in some way with self-hate, mm-hmm. is then to try to have me hang on to it.
Right.
And, so okay, that. Don't lose that. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. that way that I feel, okay, wait, stop.
You must have that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Which, of course, you know, I mean, the image of that works for me is that, oh, this beautiful river, let me gather it up and hang on to it.
Yes.
Which, of course, is never going to happen. Yeah. And just seeing that, wow, really what I'm going for is living in the place of insight, not having a particular insight.
Yes, it's not the insight that you're trying to have. It's just staying in a place of insight where I just love it because I get that image of you listening to your recording.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the recording, whatever it is that you're doing, is providing the information that's going to get put on the recording.
Yeah, they flow in, they flow out.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And it's just the experience of being in that place.
Uh-huh.
It's so great.
Yeah.
And the other one I saw this morning, which I really liked, my experience is definitely, Sherry talks about this, but my experience is definitely that every time I report and I listen back to it, I so appreciate that person that I'm listening to. And this morning I reported first thing in the morning.
Uh-huh.
So it sounds like.
Did you get a little few yawns in there?
There's all these pauses. And I listened to it, and it was so great. Because that can be, at least for me, a very vulnerable time that self-hate can come in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so great to see the sincerity of that person.
Yes.
Not even out of bed yet. Just,
right.
You know, just kind of just So that was really fun. And the reason I reached for the reporter is, I realized there were these little tiny sensations
mm-hmm.
that the conditioned system then wanted to build on to mean
mm-hmm.
And so I reached for the recording, and in it what I realized was that I often talk about the scientific links of all this because I really appreciate those images, but I saw the only way I can break that resistance, the only way I can make a difference with the resistance is when it's happening. And so it's like, if you think of it as like neural pathways, the
yeah.
only time I can begin to make a difference with those is when they're lit up.
Right.
So that's really good. I
yeah.
want them to be lit up because that's when I can make a difference.
That's when
them.
You can make a difference, exactly. It's so funny. You can't get to the crossroad without actually being there
yeah.
and then having the choice to make in there.
Yeah.
You know, the way conditioned mind likes to work is
yeah.
that it likes to set it up so that, you know, I'm on a program. And so.
Yeah.
When I get to that crossroad, this is
yeah.
how I'm going to respond. It's
yeah.
like, I got to be perfect.
Yeah, and even, I shouldn't get to that crossroad.
Right.
I shouldn't get to that. That resistance shouldn't come up. Right, exactly.
uh-huh.
That resistance shouldn't come up.
Yeah. yeah, which is not the place of insight.
No.
That's the place of, like, you know, the illusion of control.
It's exactly.
Just, I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah. It's the place, yeah, that illusion of control. It's the place of preventing insight.
Preventing insight, yes. Clamping down, holding on to that river.
Yeah.
Right. I can't see the insight because I'm holding
yeah.
on to this thing.
Stupid
that's
river.
Gone.
A minute ago, it was beautiful. And I'm like, it won't let me hold it. I hate this river.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Michael.
This is reminding me of something that I've been looking at. And the image that came to me was like doing surgery on, so there's someone who needs a heart transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do the surgery on this other person, thinking it's going to help the person who needs the transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so I want to avoid the traumatic situation, thinking that that's the answer.
Yeah.
And the work we seem to be doing is to seek the traumatic situation because we have a way to heal it.
Mm-hmm.
And
go ahead.
Well, what I was experimenting with over the weekend, one of the things was, okay, here I am, I'm suffering. And we just did this exercise in the email class where we go back to a traumatic experience
mm-hmm.
with the mentor. So I don't need, what I was seeing is, the theory I was working with is I don't need to go back in time. I have a live specimen.
There's someone suffering right here.
Yeah, someone who needs a transplant right here. And okay, where's the mentor? You know, let's apply it. And it's and the other thing about that seems to be that the opportunity arises over and over and over. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to keep having the opportunity to heal this trauma until I heal this trauma.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's maybe presenting itself because it is rising up to be healed. I've heard us say that sometimes. It's coming up because it's rising to be healed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's interesting the way you laid it out. So we can go ahead and avoid it. Or the way you're saying it is you can go ahead and seek it out, because it's almost like back to what was being shared. It's like, I can't have an insight, I can't be at a crossroads where I can actually address it until I'm actually there.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way to work with it unless it's actually happening.
Yeah. And it happens. So so the laboratory comes, the laboratory we were kind of given in the thing is going to happen, and so am I going to bring my tools with me in my life? Mm-hmm. And I think it's a perspective shift, because it's like the person who wanted to and it's interesting, because the time that I really was there going over all this, I don't think I was fully able to do it. And at the same time, the person who was there going over all this was quite a lot less a victim, I think, to the situation. This is a person seeing that there's a live specimen here.
Right.
Rather than being the
live
the
specimen.
Live specimen.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that is a big perspective shift, because the one with the tools I project is the one who can assist.
So I think that's it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Amy.
Did you say Amy?
I did.
Okay. That's it, but then I wasn't sure.
Amy. Okay.
I'm also looking at the recording project, and I'm seeing the application of how you do anything is how you do everything. And it's sort of, in other areas of my life, I'm looking at organization and specifically working with organizing a binder with folders and things that go in folders. And I have this recording device that is folders and
things that go in.
I
see the parallel.
Yeah. And I'm just seeing how there's, even with this recording device, there's a lack of organization that's happened. And I discovered how to play an entire folder from start to finish. And what I've discovered, though, is that it will continue. Like, if I go to play my one hour reassurance recording as I go to bed, if I fall asleep, it will continue to play the track after that and after that. And and I don't have it organized with just reassurances. I've got a whole bunch of guidance sessions in that folder, and it's been really sort of alarming to wake up and hear Melinda's voice. So it's just interesting to see how there's this like I have this ideal now of how I want organized, and now I have to or I have the opportunity to go and create that for myself.
Yes.
So that it's so things are, and in other areas of my life too, so things are
So you have this opportunity to have things be where you want them to be. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing that in both the work that you're doing with the actual binder and the mm-hmm. physical folders, and then there's ones that are in your recorder
yeah.
that you want to be able to have organized and have it just so.
Mm-hmm. And it feels like it would be really helpful to this person to take the time to create that, to have it be exportable or
So it would be helpful to this person to have it so that it's workable, so that it's, you know, so that you can go to sleep knowing that, you know, you can have your reassurances play and not have a guidance session, although there could be far worse things that you can have playing in your ear while you're sleeping.
Yeah, maybe I've got a person to have guidance over the past few nights.
Yeah, all the dreams of, you know, why don't you try this? Remember who you are.
And I've also had the experience of making some sleepy recordings at 2 in the morning, waking up and having just the onslaught of everything I'm overwhelmed about and getting the recorder out and saying it all into the recorder. Mm-hmm. And then recording of just saying thank you for everything. I appreciate that this person does. And it's interesting to go back and listen to it, because I can really hear in the voice of the person who is saying everything she's overwhelmed about. I can, from an outside place, recognize that place of being in the middle of that. So it's helpful to see it from an outside perspective.
Mm-hmm. To be able to see from an outside perspective that person who was trapped in the middle between that mm-hmm. and that experience of having that onslaught coming through, and the person who's going to wake up at night and do those kinds of recordings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just say thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Wanda.
Well, there's something, I'm loving all this, and I'm loving the recording and finding that same thing of I'll be talking into it and something else will occur to me to put on it, and I'll be listening to it and something, and that sort of. And I realized that, and I don't know if I can articulate this, but there's something about the person who has this recording being utterly sincere, and this being true of each of us, that we wouldn't have it if we weren't. Mm-hmm. I don't know quite how to say it, because it makes it much harder, it seems to me, to fall into any belief that I'm a wrong bad person doing the wrong bad thing.
Right. Yeah, 'cause
all I need to mm-hmm. do is listen to this person coping with overwhelm or coping with mm-hmm. forgetting or wanting to hear, you know, we're here in love together, or
right.
all of that is so acceptable.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
that's what I don't quite know how to.
Well, all of that is acceptable, all that you can see the sincerity of the person who is, you know, getting the recorder, pushing record, and listening to it, pushing play, and all of us are in that position.
Yeah, and if anybody were to come along and pick up somebody's recording, not knowing anything about this, it would be really hard to find anything wrong with that person, you know?
Yeah, you know, like this is not something that would belong to somebody who isn't sincere.
Yeah, yeah. And it was just, I really appreciated having that little insight from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, sometimes it's like, I don't know if this is your experience of it, but it's like I get a sense of that person who is actually doing the recording and practicing and the things that they're entering into there. It's almost like this is now somebody else doing it. And so
yeah.
it's like, it's, you, like, you know how sometimes you talk about, like, you know, you look around a room and you think, gosh, these are all wonderful people.
Yes.
And now it's like, with the recording, I'm listening to this wonderful person. And there they are. And I'm
yes.
not excluded from that. And it's, wow.
Yeah, it's neat, because what I'm hearing and what you're saying is that we have it, and in a way it's not personal. That perhaps, oh, I'll just have to keep looking at this, it's often the mentor who's the one who holds the recording, who holds the device.
Mm-hmm. That the mentor is holding the device, holding the recording, and you're going to look to see how that plays out.
Yeah, so lots and lots of neat things about it. It does feel like it's quite a discovery adventure that's mm-hmm. likely to go on for as long as we're willing to do it.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. Marie.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the recordings also. And, one of the things I just love about it is, people, including myself, have so much resistance to it. And Sherry's not really... From what I can tell, she's not really just asking us to do it every now and then. It's like, do it all the time. Uh-huh. I just love that. And so this morning, I was, really committed to do the email class assignment, and I really didn't have much interest in it. The multi-headed self-hate monster or whatever. And I didn't even want to write that stuff down.
Mm-hmm. You didn't even want to write that stuff down.
Yeah, I was just like, there was just this, this isn't going to work, or, it's just that feeling of this is just, well, at first, I don't want to get caught up in those stories that I've managed to drop pretty well, and then second of all, it just seems like, it's just so much, I don't know what to say to these stories, that's the problem. And so I put my five most things that hook me the most. I said, okay, I'm gonna really do it. Uh-huh. I didn't feel like journaling all that, so I just thought, okay, I'll just say them in one sentence and then invite the mentor to say whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was just so amazing mm-hmm. that the mentor was there and knew exactly what to say to this person.
Yes.
And especially on a couple of them, it was really a pretty profound experience because, the mentor really knows this person, and so it's just such a strong form of mentoring. But what strikes me about it is, so it was so profound, and it would be so easy to believe the resistance and just not do it.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like,
who wants
this
to do
one about the self-hate monster?
Yes. First thing in the morning, it's just, who wants to go into this place where I've set aside or I've already gotten over?
Yeah, and it's like, it's quiet resistance, too, because it's not like a big war against doing it. It's just like, like, that's kind of boring.
So that would be the way it starts out for you, wouldn't it? It was like,
It's just like
we were looking at the workshop, how does it start up? What is the first thing it says? Well, but for you, it's,
Yeah, so I don't, I guess what's really profound to me about it is the big lie that resistance is.
Mm-hmm.
How just a little bit of not going with resistance is huge.
Yeah.
It makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Just that shift to actually, I'm gonna do this. I won't do the self-hate monster, but I will say what my five things that hook me the most. So you actually, I'm gonna play the game.
Yeah.
Like you're gonna actually play it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And so I'm really grateful that Sherry's been so, listen to this all the time.
Yeah.
Because it having that encouragement makes it so much easier to go up against conditioning and all the resistance to doing it.
Uh-huh. So hearing Sherry say to do that all the time is helping to go up against the resistance. That's not just, here and there, whenever you feel like it, whenever it occurs to you, but it's like all the time.
Right,
she walks out on stage with it, connected to her ear.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Penny.
A couple things. One is I had this neat experience of walking right, that you have. You come down to the monastery on Friday, and walking down, I was listening to a recorder. I have a couple recorders, actually. And this is a recorder with various guidances on it. And there were some, I remembered some of the guidance sessions, and in my memory, you know, they have been, well, they were okay, you know. And I came down the hill listening to it and was like, oh my God, that's incredible. Oh my God, I didn't see that. Oh my gosh. So that was a really interesting experience. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just reappreciating. Oh, wait, not reappreciating, newly appreciating.
Newly appreciating.
The guidance sessions. And it had been sort of shoved under the rug after they were over.
You mean after that recording had been completed? Like you hadn't actually listened to them until this moment when you're walking
right
down.
Somewhere, yeah.
Because
yeah.
what you were being told was that they're just
they're okay. Yeah.
But then you actually listen to it. It's like, oh my God.
That's right. And I think I see two things in that. One is that how conditioning the minute something's over will tell me what it was like. Mm-hmm. And so I can listen to that, or I can listen to a recording of what it was like.
Uh-huh.
And the other is that even in the course of doing something, I can be, even if it's fantastic, I can be so absorbed in it that I sort of don't, there isn't that kind of ability to step back and kind of see the bigness of it.
Uh-huh.
Even without, before conditioning enters in, there's sort of, there's being so close to it, I don't kind of step back and see it.
It's fantastic while it's going on, but there's that bigness that you can't see because you're actually immersed in.
Right. And so listening to the recordings are a chance to reappreciate, to see it from a different perspective. And then it's fun it was a succession of guidances, and to kind of watch how they kind of built on each other and how the themes that emerged, and that you never would have seen that either if I hadn't just listened to them.
Yeah, if you hadn't just listened to them, you wouldn't have seen all that you had to see.
Yeah. Mm. And the other thing I just wanted to comment on was, see if I can get this. This morning I had an RLD call, in fact, I'm listening to this call, and so I had this awareness that just was bigger for me than I've had before. And what came up to me for me was that idea that in biology of ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny, which means, you know, that the individual life recapitulates the species life, kind of. And so what I just saw was that I was describing how, you know, any kind of initial, spontaneous, innocent intention or idea or inspiration gets taken by conditioning and turned, you know, soured, made mean and somehow made tyrannical somehow. And I really got how every time that happens, it recapitulates what happened to us as a child initially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that little child is there again, and then the conditioning descends again.
Yeah.
And I just got how much I don't want to spend my life doing that again and again and again and again.
Yeah, turning it over and keeping the momentum going in that direction rather than this direction sometimes.
And that we're in a position to just stop that. We're in a position to catch it and stop it. And it's like, you know, I just haven't seen it quite so clearly that it's like it's intervening in child abuse over and over rather than re-victimizing that child over and over.
Yeah, as you're describing that, it's like you're intervening, preventing that child abuse from happening, and we have the possibility of intervening and having it go in a different direction,
exactly.
And providing for the child what it is that we want. So
if
the wheel of karma keeps coming up for me, it's like, sure, it's going this way,
mm-hmm.
but then it comes to a stop, and then it can go in the other direction just as quickly.
Yeah, and I was thinking about all the times that, you know, I read and heard Sherry say, you know, at that moment when a child is struggling like that, wouldn't it be wonderful to have that adult there who can just be with that child and turn it in another direction?
Uh-huh.
And I thought, and that's the opportunity we're offered. You know, that's
yeah.
what the mentor does. It intervenes at that point and doesn't let that child have to go down that path again.
Yes, yeah. The mentor does not need to allow that child to go down that path. The mentor could be with the child.
Just like that adult we wish were there,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we were that age, how helpful that would have been.
Yeah, that's amazing. As you're talking, it's just occurring to me, that's why dropping the voices are so huge, I think. Because that's the stop,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's the breaking point. You know, the practice doesn't begin until the beatings end.
Mm-hmm.
When that momentum stops that way, mm-hmm. and we could have the opportunity to choose something different. And that's what we're focusing on. Is it feels like as an organization in general, like what's where our practice is right now is we're focusing on what it is we want to direct our attention to.
Yeah, and you know, and all that adult offers, and all that mentor offers, really is just total acceptance. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah, total acceptance.
Yeah. As opposed to the total non-acceptance, which is what conditioning does with whatever it is we bring to it. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I realized that one of the things that doing the process of the recording has been introducing into my life is a kind of a slowing down and being with what is rather than trying to get through it quickly. Mm-hmm. And I often have recognized that when I do a lot of things, you know, how you do everything is how you do everything, but particularly often with say something like an email class assignment, I will do it, but I will just do it, you know, just get it done. Mm-hmm. Somebody in group the other night talked about, you know, in school having a process of just getting things done and not really doing them for the learning, and oh man, that was so familiar to me. Mm-hmm. You know, just get it done, get the result, get on to the next thing. And so I see how I do. I even do that with eating, you know. Even though I've been enjoying the meal, it's like, let's eat it really fast. So I don't know. So what?
So you go to the next thing.
Yeah. And, so Friday morning when the email class assignment came, and I actually had had a morning that was suddenly free that I hadn't counted on. So I thought, well, and I immediately thought of, you know, 16 things I could do at that time. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I'll just do the email class first. You know, and it was kind of in that nature of, so it can be done, you know. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I just got into doing it. Mm-hmm. And I spent the entire morning on the email class. Mm-hmm. And just took as much time, and the mentor said, take as much time as you need. Mm-hmm. And I just wrote down everything all of those heads said. And some of them even surprised me, you know, like there was one thing that procrastination said that I said, I didn't even realize I did that. And yet when I saw it written down, it was like, oh yes, I do, you know, and it would, but I had never put words to it, so mm-hmm. I wouldn't have said that I did that.
Right.
But there it was, it got written down. And I said, yes, I recognize I do that. Mm-hmm. And then I took all the time I needed for the mentor to take each of those sets of comments and have her response. And then I went right in and recorded them and didn't wait. And literally, it took the entire morning. Mm-hmm. And no one was feeling like she had to hurry to get to something else. And so I've noticed that ever since then, when I feel that kind of, there's a kind of a rush that goes with it, you know, like mm-hmm. even like brushing my teeth. Like I'm really brushing my teeth so I can get through with brushing my teeth. And I just stop and go, I'm just brushing my teeth now. Uh-huh. And, it, you know, and all of a sudden that's all I'm doing and it takes as long as it takes. And, you know, and it's just, it's really pointed to a sort of sensations in my body mm-hmm. that I now recognize for what they are, and I just say, I don't need to do it that way.
Right.
I can just be here now doing what I'm doing.
You can just be here doing what it is that you're doing, and you have I imagine that might be on your recording too, mm-hmm. that mentor yeah. saying, you know, yeah. you can take all the time you need.
Yeah,
you can
absolutely.
Just be there with the whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was really enjoying, when I was listening to my recording this morning, it happened to be that part that I recorded on Friday, and I was doing something like hanging laundry or something, and I was listening to those things that those monsters say, and I just got the flapping so hard. It was like, oh my God, you know, that is the funniest thing I've ever heard. You know, and some of them weren't. I got to some of them that were like, no, that's not funny because that's often really, really real. But some of them were just like, you know,
yeah.
that I can't believe the things that can get away with that. course it does sometimes.
Right, but you're having the experience of like actually seeing what it is that they're doing, rather than it's like they're out here doing what it is that they're doing, and they become laughable.
Yeah. And the other experience I sometimes have on my recording the way it is now, because it's gotten really long, because it's actually been going on for some time, and there's also some things I've recorded on it that are just things I've read that I enjoy that I want to hear again, and there's a lot of that too. And I find myself sometimes being impatient with other people's words that are on my recorder, because I want to get to that good stuff that my mentor said, and that I want to get to the real stuff. I mean, it's like, you know, I want to get to the part that really speaks to me personally, that was said to me, and yet all of it does, you know, and I don't take anything off of it, so I just go, well, it's all good, whatever it is.
It's all good, whatever it is. But you're finding that you have this experience of like, you want to get to the good stuff, and the good stuff is what the mentor said.
That's right, exactly. Like, I want to hear that again.
That's so funny that you say that, because I have that experience too. It's like, that person, it's so true that person knows exactly what it is that I need to hear.
Yeah.
And it's always there.
Always.
Thank you. Karen.
I had a neat realization actually this morning that not only am I fortunate enough to have a mentor inside, but also a external guide, and then this whole chorus of mentors in the form of the Sangha. And so one of my big karma things is being alone, you know, always feeling kind of alone. And I realized, wow, I mean, how unalone is that? How supported and generously sharing is my life, to have all of that to help in the process of ending suffering and healing the wounds of all the little and big parts inside.
Yes.
I just had this flood of gratitude and acknowledgement of the blessings of, and how did I ever get so lucky to get here, to this place of having all of this.
Yeah, it's such a different perspective, isn't it? I mean, it's such a shift from like, I'm completely alone, to, gosh, I've got a chorus, I've got the guide, I've got the mentor, I've got everything.
Yeah.
And just feeling gratitude for that.
Yeah, and I've been recording from all of those places, too.
Uh-huh.
You know, there are things that I've read that are other people's comments in the class that have spoken just right to something that I needed to hear, but it was somebody else's voices, in a voice saying a mentor. And so I just, you know, talk it into my recorder and speak to the part that needed to hear that. And I think it was in class 4 where Sherry had this paragraph, this encouragement about not referring back to stories and stuff, and the whole paragraph just seemed so lovely and something that would be really great to be reminded of. And I read that in, and so it's just like coming from all places.
Yeah, that's just amazing. It's like, it literally is just coming from all places. Like, there are people in the class who are responding that you're relating to, and what their mentor says to them, and you're applying that in your own words, and encouragements that Sherry gives. It's like there's one mentor.
Exactly. It's like the universal mentor we could make one of those multi-headed mentor.
Multi-headed mentor.
Yeah, it might be a little cuter than the one that I had already, but
likely.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, when we said before, you know, like when you're ready, the cereal box, you know, something on the cereal box can actually.
Yeah, everything
speak into your heart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And amen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Krista?
I've become aware in this conversation of a process that I do with the recording that I hadn't been aware of before. It's so obvious that I don't know how I've not been aware of it before, which is that I do the assignment or do the work or listen, and it creates an effect. And I could say that I ride the wave of the effect, and mm-hmm. while I'm riding the wave, I stop doing the listening and the work.
Yeah.
And then
it's almost like this is working.
Right. And so I'm just being the person that I want to be, and you know, being able to focus in ways that I want to focus, and feeling calm. I mean, what I realize is that so much of my life is actually, I feel anxious, and there's different things that contribute to that anxious feeling, but one of them is certainly resistance. And so when I overcome the resistance and do the work, then that anxious feeling is not present. And in the space of the calm, then I feel affected. So I don't feel anxious.
Right.
I feel affected with my intention and what I accomplish. And like I'm not resisting something,
mm-hmm.
which makes me feel less anxious.
Right.
And then it's like a wave, you know, and then I guess, you know, we've ridden it into the shore. Then you have to go back out. and it's hard to get back out. Just like I took a surfing lesson one time, and it like riding in was quite fun, but it's quite a lot of work getting back out. And it's quite a lot of work getting, you know, starting through that process again. So then it all builds. You know, the anxiety builds and the resistance builds, and, you know, the push-pull around it. And then there we are.
There we are. That's it.
And
yeah.
then I do the work, and then I, you know, ride the wave again.
Uh-huh.
I hadn't really realized until right now, although you would think I have realized it, because I'm quite clear describing this whole process.
Yeah, it's very articulate.
but I hadn't realized how fooled I am by riding the wave. That the how, like, I really go with it. Like, I stop doing these things because this is really working. Now I'm actually being the person that I want to be. I'm having the life I want to have, so I'm not going to, you
uh-huh.
know, take this time to do this other thing. And yet the other thing is what's giving me the ability to ride this wave. I think perhaps I should make a recording around that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It would seem that would be good, because I'm so seduced by by the effect,
uh-huh.
you know, the calm that it creates,
uh-huh.
and then I get to accomplish things in that calm, and accomplishing things then takes care of a huge part of me.
Yes.
Accomplishing things seems to be like this driving force.
Uh-huh.
And it's because that would, you know, really keep away the anxiety. But if enough were somehow accomplished, then I wouldn't be anxious.
So that would be the underlying belief around that. If you got everything accomplished, you wouldn't have the anxiety that gets produced.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And
well, so that's what needs to go on the recording. I mean, the whole
yes.
Could
the
whole
you could
thing
you cut out this section and give it to me? It seems unlikely I'm going to be able to access it. I can tell. I can tell this is a moment of clarity that's not always there.
Well, that's a perfect the way it's all laid out. It's like there it is. You know, you start off, and there's an anxiety, and what you do is you do the thing that's going to produce the calm and the peace. And then you're riding the wave of that, and then there's an insight along the way, or something that comes in and says, well, you're riding the wave now, you don't have to do the work anymore, and then you end up in the shore.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're on the shore, then it's a whole lot of work to get back out.
Mm-hmm.
And you get talked out of doing the actual work.
Yes, and there's an earlier step from there's the anxiety, there's a step of there's a step of hope, hoping that it will be different, hoping that I will be different, hoping that my experience will be different, that I won't run into this place.
So there's a little bit of hope there that you won't run into this place.
Right, which, I mean, the times that, which is stupid. and also is probably the thing that deludes me. I mean, that's probably, it could be that hope is the thing that, you know, gets me down the track of fear and resistance, and then there I am having to paddle out once again.
That the hope is kind of like the conversation.
The hope is that the wave will last the rest of my life, that there's no shore. Okay. I'm just going to ride it forever.
What is it? Endless summer or something like that.
Summer and,
just going to ride off into the ocean.
As if, you know how an exhale can feel so good? As if we'll just exhale, one long exhale for eternity.
That's as though that was the way it worked.
Correct. I'm quite serious though, if that's possible, that would be very helpful. I don't know how that works.
I think it's possible.
Thank you.
Jen?
Just quickly, you know what I love about that is that, of course, these recordings all go up on the website for monthly donors. And I just, because a few minutes ago I was thinking, God, we need to have an exception. We need to be able to take notes in here. There's so many things. But just like
I know,
someone was saying, is that Sangha is providing the material for all of this stuff for us.
Yes.
And then I just thought, oh, this is perfect, because these go up on the website. We can all go listen to them. And as we're doing that, it's like, yes, that I do that too. Okay, I want to report that. Yes, I do that too. That was just really amazing.
Yeah, even yesterday, too, during the workshop, it was like, oh, what was that? Why do I need to remember that, too? And it's just, gosh, it's just so active.
Yeah, it really is, and it's all, and what it really shows is that the work that everyone is doing is work for everyone else.
Yeah.
We're like scaffolding for each other. Like that person sees that. Wow, I hadn't seen that.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then from there I see that, and maybe that person who saw that originally sees this because
yes.
of it. And then
yeah. And as you're describing that, it's like I see conditioning getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, and then this way it's going to try to do that.
Yeah. Because what it does is it's quote all powerful and has each of us by ourselves with it.
Yes.
And it's like we're getting it up on it.
Yes.
Tiny little input. Oh, Sherry used this great phrase in the email class. Let's see. The dethroned tyrant impotently screaming invectives. So great, because this like just absurd self-hate being laughed at. You know,
right.
Don't laugh at me! I'm screaming this huge
I had that image of a TV screen, right? And it just gets up so close to the front of the, you know, where the camera would be, and it's just screaming its little head off, but it's so huge just because it's so close to the camera.
But it's
really tiny, yeah.
I was really kind of identifying with the notion of riding the wave, just because that's something that I see happen over and over and over again, is that as soon as something works, conditioning wants to take it from, this is something where I was in the moment and I have the opportunity to be there in the next moment, to, no, actually this is something in the past. It worked, it's done. Clearly it's going to work for all time.
You know, this has application.
This entire issue is settled.
That's
so what we can do is just keep looking back to the past, to where it was settled, and ignore what's going on here for a moment while I figure out the next thing to keep you from actually doing it again.
That's right.
And I just see that just everywhere. It's okay, this worked, let's not do it again.
Yes.
Somehow it frames that so that it makes sense. And it's nonsense.
Yes, yeah, it's complete nonsense, and we fall for it and we do it over again. And I think that's what's so powerful about the recordings, is that it's a reminder that that's going to happen. It's almost like having that that peanut scene where, you know, Lucy's setting up the ball, you know, Charlie Brown's going to come by and kick it, and he falls on his butt. So it's like we just have it over and over again, this recording that says, conditioning's going to do this, and this is what we do instead of listening to it.
Yeah, it's you know, it's one of those things where I just hope I can someday take away the message that it's never settled.
It's never settled. You know,
it's okay. It's always going to be, I need to be here and continue to pay attention.
Is that on your recording?
It will be shortly.
It's still on mine. Thank you. Dave?
I'm having an experience with the recording and also with just all the other stuff, that you know, the email class and you know, at the 30-day retreat and just everything that is out there right now, that it's a shift in my way of sort of approaching life, which is to really see each day as you know, a precious gift and an opportunity to really take care of what's needed. And instead of kind of the old paradigm is every day is an opportunity to get away with whatever you can, you know, to do as little as you can and have as much for yourself, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And it's really, so I've been waking up in the morning, and actually I've been struggling for a really long time getting up, and suddenly that's changed. It's like, I'm having experience with all these things that were kind of out there and around have been coming into alignment, and I'm predicting that's happening for other people too. Mm-hmm. It's just they suddenly they're coming into alignment, and the stuff, it's like I've been waiting for this, these things, like how does all this fit together, and there's got to be some way to be free in the middle of all this, and it just comes into alignment, and then just everything just starts working. But one of them is getting up in the morning, which I've been struggling with for months, waking up, you know, 4:30, and then having a lot of trouble having willingness to get up, and having this thing that happens that I've talked about afterwards, it's difficult. But suddenly, with that shift in my kind of worldview, that's gone. Mm-hmm. And I wake up, and I want to get up. I want to get up kind of like right now, because I've got all this stuff to do.
Uh-huh.
And it's different from the kind of accomplishing, it feels to me,
yeah.
We'll see, but it feels to me that conditioning really likes. Mm-hmm. Somebody mentioned earlier, you know, about avoiding anxiety, or could be avoiding all kinds of things. It doesn't feel like that. It really feels like there's a kind of a world full of needs that to be addressed, mm-hmm. and most of them are mine, but not all of them.
Right.
You know, you could say that a lot of the stuff I do during the workday, I'm not addressing my own needs. I'm addressing the needs of the organization or with the Sangha or whatever. Mm-hmm. But of course, on some level, they are all my needs, mm-hmm. and my needs are no different from the needs of all. And that's kind of where the paradigm is.
Mm-hmm.
So I get up in the morning and okay, well, I want to sit, and if I can get an extra sit in, I really want to do that. And I'm behind an email class responses. I really want to be checking in with those. I want to do the class if there's a class that's been coming in. Mm-hmm. You know, all that stuff. And it's more than I can possibly do. And I like that.
Right, you like that, and you mm-hmm. want to do them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to do them. And so it's and what it does is it feels like it just produces. Energy, mm-hmm. and yeah, just because like it produces a lot of energy that before was going into a kind of a separate I want kind of a thing.
Yeah, a separate I want thing, and it's producing energy that you actually look forward to, rather than something that feels like it was. You know, you woke up and then you had this difficult thing that the energy was going into.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. That is kind of what was happening, and it's just one of those where. I can see how, sort of like I can see how I wasn't ready, mm-hmm. or I was just waiting to move through that or something, but then suddenly it just kind of shifted. It might shift again. Mm-hmm. I probably will before long, but you know, I just kind of shifted into this other space of willingness where there's just this deep satisfaction in all of it. You know, part of it, you know, practice reminders, listening to recording. Also, I got to get Fireway in. I need to clean my hermitage. I want to brush my teeth.
Right,
you know, just one thing after another, and it's just how can I maximize this day to
yes.
make the greatest contribution?
How can you
knowing that a lot of the contribution is to me and to my needs, because that's mm-hmm. part of it too.
Well, it's like the processes that you're describing, and like you describe two different paradigms. You know, the process of maximizing your day so that you can do whatever it is that you need to do to take care of the needs. The needs of the organization and the needs of yourself, which are starting to become hard to distinguish between the two, mm-hmm. versus how can I do the least and just make it through the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the really interesting things about it is true in a way that the two sort of different worlds are kind of starting to blend. And one way they blend is the process that I approach them with is becoming more and more the same, mm-hmm. where I want to be as organized as possible, mm-hmm. And efficient as possible, because mm-hmm. then more and more of my energy will go into where it's needed. Mm-hmm. So like in from the office I work in, I don't want to have a bunch of stuff
uh-huh.
all over that's uh-huh. distracting my attention. I don't want to have the information in all these different places where I have to go find it. Mm-hmm. I want to have it right in front of me. I want to know what's the next thing to do, so when I go in there, I can just go, you know, just bang, 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 bang mm-hmm. through the steps. And then we even go to lunch and feel, it's like it's feeling that energy. It's like feeling like what's riding the wave, I guess. But me, I don't know if this is a different wave or the same wave. Actually, it is kind of a different wave because it doesn't feel like it ends. Mm-hmm. The only place that it ends is when my willingness drops off. Mm-hmm. But the more that I do it, the more life is thrown in my way. It feels like, mm-hmm. Like it's the old, mm-hmm. I said that we want to repay the debt in the same coin that we received it. And that's an endless process, because the more and more we try to receive it, mm-hmm. try to give it, the more we receive, and so we keep getting further and further in debt.
That's right. The more you give, the more you get.
Mm-hmm. And it just never, oh, go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead. I was just doing one for my hands.
But it just never ends. It just life just feels like it just keeps piling on that willingness. Condition looks at that and says, "Oh God, that's how it works." Uh-huh. But the heart does. Heart says, "Yes, this is my way to make a contribution."
Yeah, it's almost like life is saying, blood's going to course through these veins, and it's like conditioning says, "Oh God, I'm just so sick and tired of all this blood coursing through these veins. Let's clog them up with stuff," which is kind of like what you've been describing, is less stuff clogging your attention and getting distracting you here and there, the easier it is for the energy to flow through. Mm-hmm. And that's just what you're naturally there to do, is mm-hmm. to move the energy through.
Yeah, that's a very interesting image, actually, because that does feel like a lot of what goes on. And so the habit is to eat potato chips.
Right.
Metaphorically.
Well, yeah, the whole thing is just like, mm-hmm. it's amazing that, like you just look at life and how it works and how conditioning works against it and the results that we have because we do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just keep on throwing things in that's going to slow it down and clog up the energy mm-hmm. and stuff. And I can see another way of looking at the process I've been going through is just cleaning all that up
mm-hmm.
and eliminating all these places. Even down to physical things like, caffeine or added sugar, I just lost interest because they mess with my system. They slow me down. They make me not feel good. You know, they take away the ability for the light, for the life force and the energy just to manifest in form.
Well, they're not in alignment with what it is that you're setting out for your new paradigm to do, mm-hmm. To live the most with your life in the time that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You're in conflict with it. Mm-hmm. Your values don't fit with it.
Yeah, that really is. That's an interesting way of looking at it, but that's just like a process. One of the ways you could describe practice is eliminating everything that interferes with the highest good.
Yeah, yeah. Conditioning has no benefit to us at all. So mm-hmm. the more it starts, it's like that pie that I like to describe sometimes. It's like, our life is like about this huge pie, and it's like, conditioning starts to get smaller and smaller pieces until finally, I don't want to give my attention to it because I know what it's doing.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So more of my life is filled up with practice and what it is that I want for myself, mm-hmm. the better I feel. It's almost like science.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is the sliver that conditioning gets is getting smaller.
Smaller and smaller.
It used to have the whole pie.
It used to have the whole pie. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe just, it was probably the opposite.
Mm-hmm.